Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit in this place, Lord, to teach us, to guide us, to help us, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would anoint me tonight and give me authority to teach as it ought to be. And Father, I pray that we would truly be changed by the power of your word, Lord, and lead and influence in greater measure than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there are all kinds of leaders in this world. I'm telling you, there are people leading in every direction imaginable. You know, leadership has been defined by many in our generation as influence or intentional influence. And I just got to say, by that definition, Adolf Hitler was a leader. He influenced a lot of people. And I can assure you, it was very intentional. And I also want to say that the influencers of our society today is a great cause for concern. There's a lot of people with a lot of influence, and they are influencing people in the wrong direction. Now, this message isn't going to be a downer. We're going somewhere with this, all right? But we are not just seeking to have influence. We're not just seeking, looking for a title or a position of leadership. That is not what this is about. It's amazing to me how leadership is all the rage. I mean, well, who am I to talk? Here we are, 3 years in, once a month, or almost every month, doing leadership training. Well, I do believe that the body of Christ needs leaders more than ever before. But you can go into any bookstore, whether Christian or secular, and you see tons of books on leadership. And it's all about leadership today. But I'm telling you, we got to cut through all of the stuff out there about leadership and get down to what really matters. We need to get to what this is really all about. And by the way, I have to just be real simple. It's all about Jesus. For us, it's all about Jesus. And you can attach all kinds of other stuff and bring in all kinds of worldly principles. And I don't know why so many Christian leaders feel the need to borrow from the world. We don't need the world's principles. We just need the Bible. We just need the principles that Jesus taught, the things that Jesus did. Always is just interesting to me who people will say is a leader. It's always confused me and amazed me. I remember many, many years ago when I youth pastored at this church, and people said about certain young people in my youth group, they said, oh, he's a natural born leader. He's a natural born leader. But I knew that if he had any influence or leadership, he was leading people the wrong way. And then there were other young people who were sold out to God. And I knew that they were the ones who were the true leaders. And I'm just telling you tonight, this world is kind of messed up about who they want to call a leader. I mean, just because somebody is a great athlete, just because somebody is a rock star, people look to them and they think that, oh, well, they're a leader because of their ability, because of their talent. They're a leader. Well, they might be a leader in their field, but I'm telling you, in God's eyes, they're no leader. And people think, well, look at this businessman. He's so successful, this entrepreneur. What a great leader. Well, I understand the idea behind that, well, if I follow and do the principle, you know, follow him, do the same principles that he did, then I can make a lot of money too. Surely we are in it for something much more than that. We're following the greatest leader in history. Our desire to learn and grow in leadership should be that we would have a greater impact in the world for the cause of Christ, that we would be used to make a difference in someone's eternity. And I'm just going to throw this out here. I'm just determined to try to obey the Lord tonight. It may take 9 o'clock for me to get it all out, but listen, if you become a better leader, I want to tell you, your church will benefit. You see, whatever way that you are involved, the church will benefit. If you work in the children's class, or if you're an usher, or if you're a growth group leader, if you're on the worship team, you become a better leader, everybody else benefits. You become a better leader, your family will benefit. If you become a better leader, your children will certainly benefit. If you become a better leader, your workplace, your neighbors will benefit. The lost will benefit. The backslider will benefit. I'm just telling you, we need to be better leaders. We need to keep growing. And we need to understand what really matters is what we do that makes a difference in somebody's eternity. You know, so even in Christian circles, it seems like there's a lot of worldly ideas about leadership and a lot of confusion, or at least ambiguity, about what we're trying to accomplish. So, what will be the results of our influence in this world? We need to ask ourselves that. We need to consider that. What will be the results of our influence in this world? I think there's a lot of people that are going to come up pretty empty-handed on Judgment Day. The Apostle Paul said about that day, 1 Corinthians 3:12-14, he says, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Now, I didn't read the whole passage, but when he's saying built on it, he's talking about the foundation of Jesus Christ. He's talking about building on that foundation. And he says, the fire, the day of judgment, is going to reveal what our work was. He's not talking about, listen to me, he's not talking about, well, you know, I worked hard, and I was a good provider, and I was a good guy, and, you know, I taught my kids not to lie, and, you know, we're good citizens, we're good people, and, you know, God sees all that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about making a difference in somebody's eternity. He's talking about Jesus building on this foundation of Jesus Christ. That's what really matters. Listen, it's a real old, well, it's a real old poem. It's pretty amazing. One of these days I want to read the whole thing, but only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. God forbid that our life's influence is about stuff, is just about the things of the world, no matter how good they may seem. No. Our life influence has to be about Jesus. So how can we build a life's work that will last through the fire? Jesus is the greatest leader of all time. 2,000 years later, he is more influential than ever. Isn't that amazing? A few hundred followers when he ascended into the heavens. I mean, he did all of those miracles, casting demons out, healing all kinds of sick people, blind people, lepers, raising the dead, did all kinds of miracles. And when it was all said and done, there were a few hundred people who were true followers of Jesus when he left. There had been thousands and thousands that followed him around and that he fed and that he taught. But when the dust all settled, there were about 500 people there when he ascended. And now he has over 1 billion followers, 2 billion by some estimates. Amazing. Now, I know that's counting all kinds of backslidden, lukewarm, nominal Christians, but amazing, 2 billion people. His influence just keeps growing. His disciples turned the world upside down, and the world has never been the same. See, this is why I kind of get a little bit fired up about Wednesday night people, because one radically sold out believer will have a bigger impact on eternity than 1,000 lukewarm Christians. That's the truth. Now, I tell you, Jesus says, I wish you were hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. Jesus doesn't like that lukewarm stuff. He wants people who are on fire. He wants people that are truly dedicated, truly passionate about him. But Jesus, the greatest leader of all time, how did he do it? You know, I got to tell you, he didn't use TV. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not preaching against TV. He didn't use a public office. I'm not preaching against public office. He didn't use his great abilities. Well, some of you are thinking real hard about that. That's not how he influenced the world. Jesus discipled 12 men. That's how he did it. He got 12 guys, tax collector, fisherman, a betrayer, 12 guys, and for 3 years, he discipled them. And one of them didn't make it. But they turned the world upside down. There were times, listen, there were times when everybody else left. John chapter 6. Everybody else left. And Jesus says to the 12, he says, will you go away too? And Peter said, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Everybody else left but the 12. And I'm just telling you that this is how Jesus impacted a generation. And this is how Jesus built his church. He started with 12 who were true disciples, 12 that would be taught to truly follow him. He gives us a commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spoke to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, I read over it kind of fast there at the beginning of 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Make disciples. If we're going to make disciples, well, you got to know what a disciple is. Some people think a disciple and a Christian are the same thing. Well, it would be great if all Christians were disciples, but they certainly are not. You see, some think that a convert is a disciple. They are not. Converts are born. Disciples are made. Jesus didn't say, go and beget disciples. He said, go and make disciples. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're born again. But to be a disciple of Jesus is to learn a way of life. and not ever completely done. You're always learning, always growing. But that's what a disciple is. It's somebody that learns a way of life from another, and that's what the 12 did. They didn't just hear him teach, they learned a way of life from him. Jesus, then and now, he's always wanted disciples. People who were willing to give their all, just like he did. Seems to be a lot of Christians today that don't really care anything about being more like Jesus or living for the cause of Christ. They'll be saved. It's just like what we read about in 1 Corinthians 3. They'll be saved, but no reward. They're just going to make heaven, and that's all. And the sad thing is all that they miss out, not just in heaven, but all that they miss out in this life. Because I'm telling you, that abundant life that Jesus said he came to give, I want to tell you how that comes. Jesus also said that if you seek to save your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life for his sake, then you find life. And I'm telling you, it's when you're a true disciple of Jesus, when you're sold out and you really want to live for him, your passion is to know him and to be like him. That's when you experience that abundant life. But if we're going to make disciples, we got to know what that is. And I want to say to you, listen, we're not trying to make our own disciples. Some people have gotten kind of confused about that. I remember a couple of decades ago when discipleship kind of turned into a bad thing because there were some groups out there that tried to take control of other people's lives by, well, you're my disciple, you have to do what I say. And I want you to know, if you're going to be a part of discipling somebody, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not in the Bible. Jesus had 12 disciples, but I want to tell you straight up now, Paul did not have his 12 disciples. Peter didn't have his 12 disciples. In fact, Paul was against all that kind of division in the body. He said, some of you say you're of Paul and some of Cephas. He was opposed to all of that. And listen, that's not what we're talking about. Well, I got my disciples that, you know. No, they're Jesus' disciples. We're making disciples of Jesus, not disciples of Pastor Mark or anybody else. They're Jesus' disciples. But we want to lead others to follow Jesus. You can't lead others where you aren't going. You can't give others what you don't have. You can't teach others what you haven't learned. And you can't reproduce what you're not. If you're going to make disciples, you yourself have to be a follower of Jesus. So how did Jesus make disciples? You know, I think the very first thing and the most important thing, I think something that a lot of times the body of Christ tends to leave out, is that Jesus loved people. He ministered to people. He went about doing good. He went about helping people. See, why did people want to be around Jesus? Why did they want to follow Jesus? Because he loved them. In fact, this is the key mark of a disciple of the Lord. Jesus says in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. So I just got to tell you, now, I think, you know, there's not a traditional thought here, that, hey, if you're going to disciple people with love's the most, I'm just telling you, we tend to forget the most important thing sometimes. And the most important thing is to love people. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you want to help anybody, you want to influence somebody, you got to love them first. I know it's become old cliche now, but it needs to be said a lot. They don't know, or they don't care what we know till they know that we care. You got to love people first. Jesus did. That's a key ingredient. Next, he called people to a total commitment. You know, Jesus never said things like, and please don't take this wrong, I'm just being real candid and honest with you because I want to get this, I know I have a message I got to impart. Jesus never said things like, just slip up your hand. And I may say it next Sunday, I don't know. But I'm just telling you, Jesus never said, slip up your hand, I see that hand, just pray the simple prayer. Jesus didn't say that. You know what he said to people? Follow me. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. He said things like that. Jesus didn't water it down. He didn't try to make it real palatable to the masses. He didn't try to make it easy, cheesy, cheap grace. Jesus didn't do that. Why does the church in America feel the need to do that? And we end up with this inoculated Christian church where people haven't gotten a hold of the real thing. Jesus called people to a total commitment. The disciples left all to follow Jesus. And I'm just telling you, watering down the gospel doesn't change anybody's life. If they're not ready to give him their life, they're not ready to be a disciple. Luke 14, 25 through 33. Now, great multitudes. Wow. Big multitudes. He's got the crowd. Great multitudes went with him. And he turned to them and he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down and count the cost whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he laid the foundation is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And here's the point, church, that when we are trying to influence people, don't soft soap it. Don't try to water it down. Don't try to sell them Jesus. Because the end result is not anything lasting. It's not anything eternal. You see, Jesus says that's why they got to count the cost. Because they'll start going to church. And after a while, they'll be like, well, you know, I used to go. How many people do you know that say, I used to go to church? They didn't count the cost. And when things didn't go their way, when they got their feelings hurt, when things got rough, they decided it wasn't for them anymore. And some of them, probably most of them, still claim to be a Christian, but they're not involved in the work of the Lord. They're not serving Jesus. They're no different than people who have never even known the Lord. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian and pastor who was executed by the Nazis in 1945. He said, salvation without discipleship is cheap grace. Salvation without discipleship. We got to have the discipleship. They say, you can lead them to the Lord, but if you don't disciple them, Jesus said the way to find life is to lose your life for his sake. And you know what? We got to tell people that. We got to tell people, you see, we got to tell them, don't say, just pray this prayer. Say, give your life to Jesus. Turn your life over to Jesus. I just read you the scripture. If you don't lose your life for his sake, then you'll lose your life. But if you lose it for his sake, then you gain life. I'm telling you, you need to tell people, give your life to Jesus. Well, I just want to get through this. I just want you to pray, you know, that God will fix my family. And that's, you know, I just want, yeah, but you're not serving God. You're not doing right. You need to turn your life over to God. Well, I just want God to help me with my finances, you know. That's what I just want. Turn your life over to Jesus. That's what we need to be telling people. Man. Y'all are with me, right? Good, because we got 8 minutes. Nobody ever regrets giving their life to God, but most regret doing it their way. Next, he was with them. Mark 3:14 says, then he appointed 12 that he might be with them. Now, it goes on to say that he might send them out, but it starts with this, that he was with them. The more the time that you spend with someone, the greater exposure, the greater the opportunity for influence. You can influence a stranger, but I'm just telling you that if you want to make disciples, if you want to really influence people to know Jesus and have a real relationship with Jesus, it's going to take some time. You can't microwave it. J. Oswald Sanders, in his book Spiritual Leadership, said that 85% of spiritual leaders are made through the influence of others. I don't know why he said 85%, because in one way or another, it's 100%. But I'm just telling you, spiritual leadership comes through the influence of others. Next, he taught them. I told you this in a message before on leadership, but if you search the scriptures and read the gospels about Jesus, here's the one thing that Jesus did more than anything else. He taught people. And I want you to understand what I'm saying. Well, first let me give you the scripture. Here's just one example, Matthew 5:1-2. This is when he started the Sermon on the Mount. Seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And I just want you to understand, you don't have to be a great teacher. I'm not talking about you standing up and teaching people. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about that if you're going to influence people and help people go the right direction, you need to teach them. In other words, when they say to you, well, I don't know how to handle my finances, or I'm having a hard time, you know, with my financial situation, then you teach them. You share with them what you have learned from the scripture. You see, when they say, well, you know, I was diagnosed with this illness, you teach them, you tell them what the scripture says. You see, I teach, hopefully I'm teaching something every Sunday and somebody's teaching every Wednesday night here. But I got to tell you, where people really learn the most is when, like the disciples, you see, they were able to ask Jesus questions. And if you'll read it, it wasn't always when there was a big crowd. Over and over, you'll see things where it says, and Jesus taught them, saying, and it was about some particular issue that the disciples had brought up. They even said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, pray like this. And I'm just telling you, whether it's your children, your coworkers, your neighbors, whoever God gives you the opportunity to influence, you need to be ready to teach, to tell them, this is what I've learned. Going to make disciples. A disciple is a student, a learner. And we're all learners of Jesus. But if you're going to help other people get closer to Jesus, you're going to have to teach them on a personal basis. Next, he modeled it for them. Jesus is always our example. We need to be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. The King James says, be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. And you know what? None of us is perfect. And so that sounds like, you know, pride to say, hey, follow me. But none of us is perfect. But surely you're following the Lord well enough that you can tell other people, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. That you can influence them in a positive way. You can't take them any further than you are, but you can at least lead them as far as you have learned and grown in the Lord. The last thing that he did is he sent them out to make disciples. Get this. We're talking about lasting influence. We're talking about making a difference in eternity. It is not enough to make converts. Did you know that if all the church did for one generation was make converts, the church would die? Would be no more. There has to be disciples. There has to be people who truly follow Jesus with all their heart for the church to survive. And it's going to. Jesus is building this church, and he's still doing it the same way he started it, by making disciples. And this has been and always will be our commission, is to go and to make disciples. And he commanded his disciples to make disciples. You got to train them. You got to teach them. You can't teach a little boy how to throw a ball just by telling him, or even just by being an example. You got to let him throw it. And I'm just telling you, we got to teach others to do what we're doing. We got to teach others to be used of God, to get involved, to be a part. That's been the success of the church for 2,000 years. It's not just a religion that's passed down from generation to generation. It is a way of life that's been taught from generation to generation. So I want to encourage you tonight. Your influence, however great or however small, you might say, I don't have much influence. Use your influence for the cause of Christ. Use your influence for Jesus. If you want to help people, I want to tell you something. You can help people lots of different ways. You can give them money. You can give them food. You can help them medically. I mean, there's lots of things you can do for people. I'm not saying not to do those things, but I'm just telling you, the one thing that we absolutely have to do is give them Jesus. Teach them to follow Jesus. That's being a true leader. Leaders make disciples. So who are you helping get closer to God? Who are you helping to learn to live a true Christian life and to follow Jesus? It'll cost you. It'll cost you time and effort and energy and money. But you've already counted the costs because you're a disciple. Amen. Well, stand with me. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to let you be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for these disciples. I thank you, Lord, for raising up leaders. And Father, I just pray that as we go out from this place, that they'll go out knowing that they are commissioned, that they have authority, that they have been sent to make disciples. And I pray, Father, that you would just use them. Lord, that the Holy Spirit will cause them to be bold, will give them an anointing, an authority to speak into the hearts and lives of others. And Father, that they'll just bring glory and honor to you. as they bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you.